Back here on 3D, Jeff Merrick, Sportsnet. Big day tomorrow in Las Vegas. Going to have the awards, and of course we're going to find out who the Golden Knights, what their roster is going to, how it's going to shape up after the protected list came out on Sunday morning. Now we're going to find out how they are going to construct things out in the desert. Jeff, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Are you in the casino right now? Are you in Vegas doubling down?
No, I'm not. I'm actually still poring over over scouting reports. I'll be on my way to Chicago for the NHL draft. I'll be leaving Thursday morning for round one on Friday. So I will be watching the awards and the expansion draft from my living room and then getting on a plane the next morning and heading to Chicago.
Well, that's safe. You can't lose any money in your living room, I don't think.
You know, it's funny because this is the Memorial Cup in Windsor, and they put us up at Caesars. And so going in and out of my hotel room, I had to walk through the entire casino. It was all I could do to keep all my money in my jeans, I assure you, gentlemen, I assure you.
We're very biased here, and if we were betting, we would bet on David Poile to be GM of the year. We believe that he should win. He deserves it. But the question is, will he? What do you think?
I got David Poile going away. I think that, what David Poile has done here is he's demonstrated that there's not just one way to build a successful team. Where in the salary cap era, we continue to hear about everything is all about drafting and development. That's the only way to win. As you guys well know, you're closer to it than I am. David Poile says, well, that's one way to win. There's drafting and developing, and that's pretty much outside of PK Subban how we put together the bulk of our blue line. But if you look at the high impact forwards that Nashville boasts, if you look at what Nashville's done up front, it's all all been done by way of trade. Sure, there's the homegrown talent of Victor Arvidsson to the world, but as you guys know, whether it's Ryan Johansson or Kalle Yarncroke or Philip Forsberg, a lot of the high end guys were all acquired. So the idea that you can't do it with shrewd trading flies out the window when you're dealing with, the sly fox that is David Poile. I've been impressed at how Poile's put this team together, and then the nerve that he's had to not be shy about, making the big deal. There were times where, the reputation that Poile had was, he was, too nervous to make the big deal, would always pull up short about making the big deal, even though he made a huge one in Washington, we all recall. David Poile has, I think, more than anyone else the last couple of seasons in the NHL deserved the General Manager of the Year. And if I can throw in one caveat, this has always been a little stump speech of mine. It's the one award that doesn't have it. It's the one award that doesn't have a legacy name attached to it. I would always like to put forward that this, the General Manager of the Year, be renamed the Bill Torrey Award, and the winner gets a statue, a trophy that's in the shape of a bow tie. That, to me, would be perfect for the GM of the year.
That's outstanding. Good stuff.
Thanks, man.
Let me bring you into our conversation yesterday on the show, and quite honestly, it's been a conversation that has been brought up many times. As you know, fan bases get fascinated with a player, especially a player that they recognize, a name that they recognize. And I just want you to tell us through your eyes, big deal, is he a big deal or is he not? I know he's a really good player. People here are fascinated with Matt Duchene. And I've just come out and said, look, I think he's a good player. I really do. I'm not here to knock Matt Duchene. I just feel like the stock has been inflated here, like he is something, he's a game changer. Like you just can't live without Matt Duchene. And I realize he played on a crappy team. But the fascination with Matt Duchene, where are you at on his abilities and what he would bring to the table? And, should teams – I don't know what the price tag is. My guess is it's the sticker price has a little shock value to it if you call Colorado asking about his services. Where are you at on Duchene?
I like Duchene. I'm in the camp that's pro Matt Duchene. He's got great wheels. He's got great hands. He sees the ice well. You're right. He's playing on a on a team that's an underwhelming team, underperforming team. But, I look at the player and I look at the age, and he's 26-year-old. He's in the prime of his career. And sometimes you look at a player and you say to yourself, this guy just needs a new environment. This guy just needs a breath of fresh air. This guy needs to get out of the routine that he's in that city and on that team. And Matt Duchene screams at me every time I think about that. I like him. I like him going away. I think he has the potential to be amongst the elite at his position in the NHL. Versatile as well. He can play center. He can play left wing. I'm very much in the camp of Matt Duchene. I think that the reason a lot of casual hockey fans have a hard time putting value on Matt Duchene is, I mean, he doesn't play in a market that gets a whole ton of exposure. You know, if Matt Duchene were playing with the New York Rangers or the Los Angeles Kings or the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Montreal Canadiens, we'd know a whole lot about Matt Duchene, and I think the conversation would be a little bit different. But he's kind of been hidden the past few years playing on an underwhelming Colorado team, a team that hasn't made the playoffs. And in a lot of ways, that's where you make your reputation, right? Like now, I mean, personalize it for Nashville. Everybody knows Philip Forsberg. Everybody knows Victor Arvidsson. Everybody knows Matthias Ekholm. Everybody knows Ryan Ellis now because they had that playoff run. If Colorado had one like Nashville just had, everybody would know the name Matt Duchene and would understand the skill set.
Okay, Jeff Merrick, you've just walked onto the Colorado car lot, and I'm your sales guy, Darren. Okay, you've told me you love this Duchene model.
Don't tell me you got to go check with your manager.
Now I need to know, how's your credit? Do you have a sizable down payment? And we don't haggle here on this lot. Are you willing to pay sticker price? So that's great that you love the Duchene car, but do you have all those other things to buy it?
It's expensive. You are bang on. This is not you're not getting Matt Duchene for pennies on the dollar, and Colorado knows that. Do they have to trade Matt Duchene? Absolutely not. So it's advantage Joe Sakic there. We're talking about, you know, a high-end prospect, a first-round draft pick, maybe multiples when you're dealing with Matt Duchene. This is and a player that goes onto your roster right away. This is an expensive deal to make. And is Colorado under any pressure to do it? I would still argue no. But if they are going to pull the trigger, you can be sure that the return will be sizable, gentlemen, and it involves players on the roster, it involves prospects, and it involves picks.
Jeff Merrick is with us from Sportsnet. So, Jeff, with all that being said, we've set the table with David Poile, and then what a couple of things might be out there, trade wins this week. What about the situation he's in at this point? Now that you know who's protected and who's not, We've been having a pretty spirited debate, and really everybody around town, as to is it worth giving up something like a first-round pick to protect more assets, or is David Poile just better off taking the medicine, losing one guy, and then going from there?
It's a great question. I think in other years when you're picking in the teens, you might want to hang on to it, but you know this is pick number 30. In the draft. This isn't, you know, you're not in the top 10, you're not in the teams. I mean, you're, you know, outside of Pittsburgh, you know, the last pick in the first round. I think if there's any year, and, you know, considering it's, you know, not as strong a draft as we've seen the past couple of years, not as strong a draft as we're going to have next year, which is headlined by, you know, Rasmus Dahlin and Andrei Svechnikov and Joe Valeno, some high-end players, Brady Tkachuk, as well, Ryan Merkley. I think if there's one year you're going to say, and Nashville's in win-now mode, and let's keep the band together here. If there's one year that you're going to sacrifice your first-round pick to keep this team together, a team that just went to the Stanley Cup final, I'd be okay giving up the first-round pick this season.
Okay, now let's take it a step further, because this is what we had to dissect. If you're George McPhee, and your choice is not make a deal, and then take somebody like James Neal, who he then could probably turn around for a decent haul, whether that be a first-round pick or somebody else he can help. If I give up my first-round pick, how much is George McPhee going to then allow me to dictate as David Poile who I'm giving you back? Because you're giving up a first and another player, or is it better off just giving up James Neal? In other words, okay, with that first-round pick, what are you asking for, what are you demanding in terms of what you get back from George McPhee?
I'm asking that he doesn't touch James Neal or Colton Sissons.
As far as you'd go, or would you have to try to take it further?
I would love to say Pontus Aberg as well. I would love to be able to say those three names, and after that, George, you can pick. But considering how, you know, first-round picks this year aren't, you know, what they were last year, are what they are going to be next season. You know, the cutoff might be two. If you can say no James Neal, no Colton Sissons, no Pontus Auberg, after that George, fill your boots, and George goes for it, hallelujah. But I have a feeling it's only going to be one, maybe two, that that David Perrell is going to be able to say, hey, George, hands off these guys in exchange for our first-round pick. And I'm glad you keep bringing this up, too, because the big story of the week isn't necessarily going to be what happens on Wednesday with the Vegas expansion team. It's going to be how many first-round picks can the Vegas Golden Knights put together in order to put together a package to move up in the draft to either select number one or number two. One of the worst-kept secrets around the league right now is that Vegas is trying to move up to get Nolan Patrick, either a one or two, depending on where he's available. Assistant general manager of Vegas is Kelly McCrimmon, former GM, coach, owner of the Brandon Wheat Kings. He knows Nolan Patrick very well, and they would like to start their franchise with the big right-hand shot center that is Nolan Patrick. So all this talk about picking up the first-round draft picks, you know, looking the other way on players, all that is going to build to this crescendo on Friday when Vegas puts together a package to try to move up from six to as high as number one.
Here's another thing, Jeff, we'd love to get your outside perspective on. As somebody who watches the game, but you're more objective than maybe here where we're watching close. The emergence of guys like Freddie Gaudreau, Colton Sissons, Pontus Auberg in the playoffs for the Predators was a great thing. It drove them to where they got to go. It was a big part of the story. So what do people say about those players going forward long-term, big picture, and what are the chances that it's just guys catching lightning in a bottle and had a hot streak, but that's really not indicative of what they're going to be? Because that's a big part of it. That's a big question.
Yeah, it's a huge question, and we all love the skill of Auberg. And, you know, Gaudreau was a wonderful story, and one that really, you know, captured people's attention. If you followed him in junior, understand the injury history and playing in Chewing again in the Memorial Cup that year, and never drafted, and has had to, you know, work his tail off to get to where he is. But we still don't know a whole lot about him. We know a whole lot about, you know, Philip Forsberg. We know a whole lot now about Kelly Garnkrog. We're just really getting to know Kevin Fiala. Those are more of the headline, Colton Sissons. Those are more of the headline names. Know a ton about the blue line with the Nashville Predators, and I think it's the envy of the entire NHL. And I think this was a real coming out party, not so much for Roman Josi, but if anyone was really paying attention, Matthias Ekholm, I thought, was nothing short of outstanding, to the point where if Nashville would have won the Stanley Cup, he's my Conn Smythe Trophy winner. But I don't think we at this point still know enough, you know, outside of Nashville about Auberg. Know enough about Frederick Gaudreau. Those are still some of the more lesser-known players because we didn't really get a long-term snapshot of what these guys can do.
This year's draft, real quick, Jeff. You said you're going there to Chicago on Friday. The last 2 years, especially at the very, very top, the first two picks have been outstanding. I mean, it is the future, the next wave of this sport. This draft doesn't really hold that, does it?
Doesn't. You're going to get a really good player. You're not going to get a franchise changer. It doesn't appear right now. I mean, Nolan Patrick, let's just run a couple down. Nolan Patrick, I mean, it seems to be that there's two players vying for the top spot, and a lot of teams now in the top 10 are leaning more towards Nico Hischier of the Halifax Mooseheads, the Swiss-born center, than Nolan Patrick, the Canadian-born center from the Brandon Wheat Kings. Nolan Patrick, when you watch him play, you say nothing is spectacular. He just does everything so well. He's almost like Jonathan Taves light. And when you watch Nico Hischier, 200-foot player, but he has that explosive offensive aspect to his game as well, you say to yourself, he's kind of like Pavel Datsyuk light. So you're not getting Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel, either of these types of players, but you're getting really good, solid 12-year pro players. There's some interesting defensemen. I think Miro Heiskanen, the Finnish defenseman, is outstanding, a little bit smallish, but he wheels the puck well. Kale McCarr of the Brooks Bandits plays in the AJHL in Canada, a tier two team, but he may be, and those two are probably the top two defensemen that'll be selected. I mean, no one's knocking your socks off. No one in this draft is saying, hey, I'm coming in and I'm changing your organization starting this October. But you're going to get a good player. You always get a good player if you play your cards right in the first round. Just don't expect anyone to walk in next season and completely change the fortunes of your franchise. That player is not available this year.
All right, Jeff, as we let you go, here's the zinger. There's no deal made between McPhee and Poile. You're George McPhee. Here, you got the list. Who are you taking? Are you definitely taking James Neal, or are you taking somebody else?
To me, it's between Neal and Sissons. And right now, if I'm Vegas, I'm probably taking James Neal. I'm taking the guy that can score the goals, because the one thing that Vegas won't have is someone that can score an easy goal, someone that can come down the wing and take all the pressure off just by snapping it in. Goals are expensive, as you guys know, and no one's letting go of goal scorers. And you want to protect them, and just by way of numbers, Nashville can't. So I'm going with the guy that's got the surefire shot in James Neal.
Hey, remember, when you take that Duchesne model out for a test drive, leave your wallet with me, okay?
It's expensive, man. You know what? Take show your boots, because that to me is one of the more interesting deals out there, just to see what the payback is for Matt Duchesne, because he's unlike someone like Alex Galchenyuk that's been devalued by the organization. Matt Duchesne has not, and that's an expensive trade to make.
Yep. Hey, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
Always, anytime. Have a good one. Enjoy the expansion draft.
All right, to you too, Jeff Merrick with Sportsnet, and we do appreciate him joining us as always. We'll come back with more on 3D next.